Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting from Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. Today I have on the show Joshua Youngkin, a colleague of mine and a good friend who is Program Officer in Public Policy and Legal Affairs here at Discovery Institute, works quite a bit in dealing with defending academic freedom for folks who are facing discrimination because of their views on evolution and intelligent design. So, Josh, thanks for coming on the show here.
Thank you, Casey. I'm glad to be here.
So we're going to talk about a situation that you've been aware of for a number of months, a situation in Amarillo, Texas, at Amarillo College, where a group calling itself the Free Thought Oasis has been threatening to disrupt a course on intelligent design and basically pressured the college into canceling the course. Josh, give us some background here. What happened in Amarillo, Texas, and why is this interesting?
Well, what happened in Amarillo, Texas is what we've seen, unfortunately, across the country and various other places. You have the professor, in this case, or rather an instructor by the name of Stanley Wilson, who was authorized by the college to teach a course on the intelligent design and evolution controversy for the College of Continuing Education. It was offered non-credit. It wasn't a science class. And as mentioned, it was fully authorized by the administration. It was had good enrollment, and the instructor intended to use a course book or textbook called Explore Evolution. And when the local supposedly Free Thought group, Free Thought Oasis, got wind that there was going to be on campus this college taking place, they organized and began a campaign essentially to get the class shut down. Unfortunately, they were successful ultimately in getting the class shut down. And for my part, I wanted to find out, well, exactly how did that happen? So I filed a number of public access requests on the college. And from that, I learned a good bit about how exactly that happened. I'm glad to tell you about that if you had any questions.
Yeah, Josh. So why don't you explain to our listeners real quick, what is, you call them a public access request or public documents request. What are these and how does it allow the public to find out about what's going on?
Well, the public access laws of the state of Texas, like those of many other states, allows regular folks, even out-of-staters, to send a request to public agencies. Those are entities that are formed under the laws of Texas and beholden to them to get materials that were produced during the course of the college's work. College is, a public institution paid for by public tax dollars. And as a matter of the policy of the state of Texas, and as a matter of right now, we have access to emails that constitute the work of the public college. So anyway, I went after those and I did inquire a few times with their public access point of contact, the vice president of business affairs there, and he was fairly cooperative, and so was his IT department in returning to me emails that, again, described how exactly the deed went down.
So let's talk more about the deed and exactly what happened. This evolution versus intelligent design class that was planned to be taught this past fall 2013 semester. So Josh, I've found this quite amazing. This was not a class that was like a required general education class or something like that. This was literally a non-science, not-for-credit, continuing education course for adults. And that was too much for these folks at the Free Thought Oasis who felt that they could not tolerate intelligent design being discussed in this continuing education, adult education course. Now, of course, the most ironic part of this whole situation is the name of the group, Free Thought Oasis. They call themselves the Free Thought Oasis, and yet they are trying to shut down free thought for students to learn about intelligent design. We've seen these kinds of euphemistically named groups in the past. Free Thought Oasis in this situation, of course, was aided by the Texas Freedom Network. So the Texas Freedom Network is trying to shut down freedom of inquiry for students to learn about intelligent design. And they actually filed their own public documents request on the university, not so much because they wanted to perhaps encourage academic freedom or encourage the class to go forward, but rather, I think, to intimidate the university from teaching the class. Going back to the public documents you received through the request that you filed, Kim Davis, who is the Dean of Continuing Education at Amarillo College, she had, according to these emails, been in communication with Jamie Farron, the leader of the Free Thought Oasis, who was at the time a part-time employee at Amarillo College. And Jamie Farron, he had some things to say about the class to Kim Davis. What exactly did he say, and what was Kim Davis's response to Jamie Farren's tone and attitude about the class.
Yeah, he, I believe, approached Kim Davis during the course of the meeting and made clear his view that he thought the class ought not be taught there and that it was the wrong venue for something like that to happen. In private emails between Ms. Davis and other members of the college, I believe she described him after her encounter with him as very fact-focused, very intense.
Well, I think she suggested that there was word on the street that some of his friends were going to enroll. And at one point, it seemed that Ms. Davis actually received a phone call from somebody claiming that Jamie Farren and his friends, they were going to audio tape record the class and possibly cause some kind of a disruption. And I think it's interesting that even this administrator at Amarillo College saw the irony in the name of Farren's group. She said, "I don't know where the free thought comes in, though it seems more like a lack thereof." These people from the outset were seeing that it was ironic that this free thought group was trying to, her own words, have an underlying desire to kill the class. Some other interesting things happened that I think were very intimidating to the folks in the administration at Amarillo College. There was an encounter between Jamie Farren and the professor who was going to teach the course, Stanley Wilson. You actually obtained, Josh, the police report from this incident. What happened there? Can you tell us?
Sure. Mr. Farren, I don't know exactly right off the top of my head the timeline in relation to his meeting with Ms. Davis, but near and around that time, Mr. Farren confronted Mr. Wilson, the instructor, in and near Mr. Wilson's office. Now, Mr. Wilson, really quickly here, he's an elderly gentleman, and I believe he's somewhat handicapped or disabled. So he, during this confrontation with Mr. Farren, began to feel threatened by Farren, such that he did speak to administration officials who then, I think, urged him to file a police report with campus police. And I did have a copy of that. I did obtain that as well. The police officer describes Mr. Farren's conduct, as reported by Mr. Wilson, as verbally harassing and intimidating. And then this is just essentially sort of the conduct that we can now expect, I believe, from this Free Thought Oasis group.
Yeah, the police report noted that there was a possible threat to a new faculty member. And one of the administrators said that Farren was verbally aggressive, not physically aggressive, but verbally aggressive. And certainly this was very intimidating to Mr. Wilson. And Mr. Wilson apparently said that he had the impression, and this was the same impression from folks in the administration, that there might be some kind of a disruption or a protest during the class that might try to prevent it from successfully going forward. So after all of this intimidation, harassment, and threats, was it successful, Josh? What did the administration do with the class?
Administration ultimately did cancel class and did so essentially on the basis of their fear, according to the emails we recovered, their fear of looking bad in front of the national press, basically having a publicity problem, and not so much because they were seeking to take sides on the question of whether or not intelligent design ought to be taught at a university. Their overriding concern was essentially making the matter go away with as little hit to their reputation in the press as possible.
Yeah, it's really interesting reading these emails, Josh, where you see these administrators giving their true feelings about why they were canceling the class. And it was clear that they basically feared a showdown in the media with these free thought atheists and the Texas Freedom Network and other Darwin lobby groups. And they knew that if they got in a media showdown with them, they were going to lose because the media always sides with the Darwin lobby. They feared the media sympathizing with these Darwin lobbyists and these atheists, even though, as you can see from the behind the scenes communications, it was clear that it was the atheists and the Darwin lobbyists who were threatening to cause the disruption. They were the ones who were really at the root cause of all the problems here. Amarillo College knew that if they really didn't give in to their demands and cancel the class, they were going to be stuck in a media showdown that they couldn't win. And so they thought better to just cancel the class. So it's unfortunate because, I mean, the way I saw this, and I don't know if you feel the same way, Josh, but basically these Darwin lobby groups and Free Thought Oasis atheist group, they basically put the university in a difficult position where it was forced to balance, on the one hand, academic freedom and the importance of giving students the opportunity to explore these important scientific questions of where we came from and learn about different viewpoints. So on the one hand, there was academic freedom. And on the other hand, they faced a bloodbath in the media if they were to stand up for academic freedom. And that's a pretty heavy cost to take for standing up for freedom of speech and the rights of students to investigate these questions. And I think that for me personally, I think it's worth facing a little bit of ridicule in the media, unjustly, of course, if you're standing up for what's right, if you're standing up for academic freedom. Obviously, they felt differently. They felt like the better course of action, or at least whoever made the decision at Amarillo College, felt like the better decision was to cancel the class and sacrifice academic freedom rather than face this bloodbath in the media.
I don't mind saying what would be helpful or what would have prevented the administrators from taking the path of least resistance here would have been perhaps had there been a statute on the books in the state of Texas that assured administrators of faculty and student rights to discuss even controversial science topics on public property, what we call an academic freedom bill relating to higher education. Had there been one in place on the books that gave guidance to the administrators, they wouldn't have been caught in this dangerous game of chicken with these very aggressive groups.
I couldn't agree with you more, Josh. If there was an academic freedom law, it would have been a totally different story. The Darwin lobby groups would not have had this kind of leverage. There would have been maybe some recourse if somebody had tried to cancel the class. And they could have legitimately said, look, if you guys want us to cancel this class, you're welcome to express that viewpoint. But there's actually law in the state that says that a professor has the right to talk about these scientific controversies. So you might want to go and lobby the legislature and try to strike down a law that protects academic freedom if that's how you feel. And that would be, I think, a more appropriate way of expressing their views anyway. The whole situation got really messy. I mean, you literally had this administrator at Amarillo College was so fearful of what this Darwin lobby group, this Free Thought Oasis group might do. They went to the media. He actually lied directly to the leader of the Free Thought Oasis group saying, oh no, don't worry. We weren't talking about you guys when we mentioned the possibility of a disruption. We were talking about anonymous phone calls promising a disruption in the class. And don't worry, we weren't trying to make you guys look bad. Well, that wasn't true at all. There was only one group that had threatened a disruption. That was the Free Thought Oasis, but they were trying to pacify these people so they wouldn't throw a fuss and cause more problems for the university. So it's really unfortunate that I think even though we can be disgusted at the Amarillo College administrator for lying and for sacrificing academic freedom, really at the root cause of all of this is this Darwin lobby group that's trying to pit freedom of speech and academic freedom versus ridiculing people in the media and causing a lot of problems for these schools. It's really unfortunate.
It is. I mean, at the end of the day, the college could have acted better, but the real instigators, real problems are these aggressive groups that use even quasi-illegal activity in order to get their way. At least activity that results in police reports. There was actually not only one police report, but a second as well. But anyway, we're learning all the time more about this case as we converse with the college and gain from them access to the internal workings and the emails that they have. And we're going to stay on top of this.
All right, Josh. Well, thank you. I think it is true that when you have powerful political allies like the Texas Freedom Network or the National Center for Science Education was also assisting this free thought group, when you have those kinds of allies and you're threatening to raise a stink and cry a bunch of crocodile tears before the sympathetic national media, there is a good chance you'll get your way unless you're dealing with people who really care about academic freedom and there is good law on the books protecting academic freedom. So here's to more folks out there who care about academic freedom. So thank you very much, Josh, for coming on the show and talking to us about Amarillo College situation here.
Thank you very much, Casey.
I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.